Thursday, the 25th of September, Kof Hei Elul, Yom Hei Deslichus, Rabbi Joseph Perlman, Simone Rosh Hashanah.
Right, thank you for inviting me again. The topic is Simone Rosh Hashanah. Now, the handout is not what we're entirely going to discuss. On one side, you see a number of questions, 21 different questions. They're not for this particular shiur, but except two or three of them are. And this is something to keep you puzzled over the next few days. And hopefully by the time that you've read through all the questions, you'll begin to realize that Rosh Hashanah is something different from what you first thought it was. Otherwise, the 21 questions will still be in place. The main topic is actually over the page, which is the Hebrew bit, and this is the subject of the Simonim of Rosh Hashanah night. The Simonim of Rosh Hashanah night. Now, that, they raise a number of issues, each one of which would be a topic on its own. The first, obviously, major question is one of the questions on the first side of the sheet, and what on earth are we doing such childish things for? On the Yom HaDin, it's a very, very serious day, and we seem to be playing little games at Kinderspiel. You know the story of they'll take the apple and the honey and all the rest of it. It's very childish. I mean, it seems more appropriate for the night of Pesach than for the night of Rosh Hashanah, in certain ways, for the night of Purim, in fact. And then the next question is that if we do have these simonim, surely they can't create a new year. Is that not like Nichlush, the famous problem? You're not allowed to go along and throw salt over your shoulder. You're not allowed to go and say, "Ooh, a deer has just crossed the road, that means I'll have bad mazel today." That's Darkei Amori, that's Nichlush. You're not allowed to do that. So in what way can we use this simonim and say we're eating sweet honey and that should give us a new year? And how on earth can that we be even allowed to do such a thing? Quite apart from the fact that even if we were allowed to do it, why should we be doing it on Rosh Hashanah night? The next question is the simonim themselves. Everybody has simonim. We know we've had many which are handed down from tradition, from parent to child. But what are the right simonim today? Now we've got plenty of scope. We've got all the oriental foods, the Sharon fruit, the passion fruit, all these different fruits. What should we be taking today? The next question we can have to deal with, there's a number of halachic shilas which people just don't think about, generally speaking, but you should. For example, we have a minute from home that we have apple in honey. State Zayin Ramor, and when I was a little boy, and every year my father would take an apple and make a bracha on the apple and would dip it in honey. But Bisman Azeh, everybody brings dates and figs and all sorts of other fruit. And the halacha is that if you've got all sorts of different fruits, there is a din kedimo. The shivas haminim have a din kedimo. Now we had a minig not to take pomegranates on the first night because we used to use the pomegranate as the shechiyona for the second night. That was a minig. But now people seem to take all sorts of different fruits. And the shail is, in that case, how can you make a bracha on the apple? Because the din is that the shivas haminim take precedence over the apple. Next question is, do you make a bracha ala priyotz on the apple? If the ikka of the apple is to take the honey, then in fact the bracha should be shakal on the honey, and the apple becomes a tofel to the honey. So you've got a tremendous halachic shaila as to how you can dip the apple in the honey and make a bracha. Because since it's not part of the meal, you have to make a bracha on it. So what do we do? There are eight different answers to that question. It's just halachic, the question of how you can make a berid priyotz on an apple when the ikka of the apple is to dip it in the honey. The next question, different minhagim about the bread with the honey. We have a minhag that from Rosh Hashanah until Simchas Torah, we dip bread in the honey and we don't dip it in salt. But a lot of people disagree with that. Other people say you've got to have salt. But if you put the salt on the honey, then the honey's no good anymore. It's nursing time and it's gone. So you can't put the honey and the salt together. So what do? You can't make two brochas. So what do? You put the honey on one side and the salt on the other side? How do you do it? What should you do? That's also a very interesting halachic shaila as to how to handle that situation. But we're not finished yet. When you say the Yehi Rotzon, everybody's got a different meaning. Do you say Yehi Rotzon Mufanech Hashem Elokeinu Velokei Avoseinu Shetichadish Aleinu or Shetichadish Aleinu, whichever the Giris is, Hashon Hazos? Or do you not say the Shem? You're not supposed to say Shem for nothing. So some people are going to say with the Shem, and some people have to be without the Shem. I've just found out today a third minute. Apparently Rav Shlomo Zalman used to make the Shem on the first one, and on all the rest he did it without the Shem. Now, that's a new minute. So you see minhagim of all different sorts. We're not finished yet with the problems, because this, if you're going to say that you make the Borei Pri or Eitz on the apple before, that's fine, you mercy everything. But let's say you're going to make a Yerotzen then on the carrot. Now, our minute was not to take a special carrot and to make a bracha, to make the yirots on the carrot, because if you do, you've got a shayla, do you make a Borei Pri Adoma at that stage or not? It's part of the meal. A carrot goes with the bread. You can't make the bracha before you've made amotzi. After you have to make amotzi first. But if you've made amotzi and you've made Borei Pri Eitz on the apple, that's fine. But can you make a Borei Pri Adoma on the carrot? The carrot's part of the meal. Ah, but it's not part of the meal because it's part of the yirotzen. So you've got a suffix bracha. So most people, what they do, they wait until the carrots come in the middle of the meal, and each time you come across something in the meal, you make the yirotzen on that particular thing. But that creates a problem, because that yirotzen which you're making shows that this is not just stamp part of the meal, it's something choshuv. If it's choshuv, it's chayv brachas. So you're back to suffix brachas again. So what do you do with all these points? The first point is to realize that there are problems, and realize there's Rosh Hashanah night, and realize that in Rosh Hashanah night you're going to be very makbid on your brachas. And it's like the famous thing they say, don't take fruits which have got worms in them in order to make the Yerotzen. Because you can do a minig or a minig, perhaps a minig drabon and a minig, but over many lavender yoraisa by eating too long. The same as Mora on Pesach. So you've got to be careful. Then the question is this. So far we've assumed you've got to eat the simonim, but it's not so poshut. It's not poshut at all, you've got to eat the simonim. Let's start with the makor. I think in order to understand how this simonim came about, and obviously we can't deal with everything, but at least to get a flavour of what's going on and go further, we can start from the Gemara. But let me just say, before starting the Gemara, I want to say one thing. Everybody has a minig of osov. Keep to it. Don't start looking at what Yenem does. Don't worry what Rabbi Shlomo Zalman did. Don't worry what Rabbi Eliashiv did. And don't worry what the Chazon Ish did. You do what your father did. Because that's your minute, and that has a makor. You can see from what I'm saying, there's deus galore in all directions. If you have a minig of a seinu b'yodeinu, that is the minig. Then you've got to be miyashiv your minig. Expect. Maybe you've got to touch the minig up a little bit so that maybe you can be yotzer a few more days by doing it, but stick to the basic minig. I have a minig. We have bread in honey without salt from Rosh Hashanah right to Simchas Torah. I found that Rabbi Shlomo Zalman had the minig to do that on Rosh Hashanah night and on Yom Kippur meal, and I think on either Hashanah Rabbah or Simchas Torah. He didn't do it throughout. But that's how Shlomo Zalman did such very good. He's a godel ador, and he was a person you can, if you've got no other minig, you can follow it with no problem at all. But I have my father Oliver Shalom, and my father had his father Oliver Shalom, and we used to put bread in honey without the salt. Aye, what do you do about the salt? Now you've got to answer. We follow the Ramor, who says as long as the salt on the table, you have to give in. I, the Bali Kabbalah, say you've got to dip three times in salt. Okay, so the Bali Kabbalah say that for the rest of the year. During this particular time, the honey overcomes the salt. Or, alternatively, it is shy, I suppose, if you have Davka want to dip in salt, you dip later in the salt. That's also a minute. Dip in the honey first, and you put in the salt later. That can also be. You mustn't lose the ikka for the toffle. Just by the way, one of the reasons why we dip in Davash, because Davash is Gematria 306, which is Avarachamim. So when you're dipping in the honey for a sweet year, bear in mind that we're asking Avarachamim to do it. There's a lot of Ramazim of that sort. So then, after the other minhag we have, we take an apple, we make a Borei Pri or Eitz, and we say Yerotzen without the Shem. That's our minhag. We did not say the Shem. We say Yerotzen Mufanecho, Shetachalish Olein, Letoivo, It's Shana Tova or Masukah. The Rambam doesn't mention the word Tova, the Rambam mentions Masukah, but I mean, they can say Tova or Masukah. Some people believe that Davka don't want to say Tova because whatever Hashem does is going to be Tov. So you can't ask what Shana Tova. It's a bit of, it's like a blasphemy. You're saying that if you don't get a good year, we're not happy with it. I don't know, but whatever Hashem does is Tov. But the answer is that Tov means Tov as we feel it. Like Masukah is sweet. Everybody knows there's a difference between a Masukah and a Marura. That everybody can understand. So in the same way as Masukah means sweet, Tova means in our understanding of the word Tova. Oh, but the Rambam doesn't say the word Tova. He uses that. Follow your minute. If you say Shana Tova or Masukah, say Shana Tova Masukah. If you say Shana Masukah, fine, do it that way. But we make the bracha, we say the Yerotzen without the Shem, and other people say it with the Shem. And then, you know something, if a Baal Teshuva were to come, a gay were to come to me and ask me what to do, I'd probably tell him to say it with the Shem. Because that is what the Mishnah Berurah says, and that's what Mishnah Berurah. But my minhag is not like that, and my father did it, it's good enough for my father, it's good enough for me, because that's the way we our minhag. We make it on an apple. What do we do about all the problems with the dates and the figs and all the rest of them? What do we do about them? Answers, they're off the table. They're not there. We don't have them. Because if they were there, you'd have to make a bracha on it. So you've got to find some way of being miyashiv, the minig, which is your minig. My minig is to make on an apple. So what happens to an apple? Well, it could be, just practically, they didn't have grapes and figs and dates in the olden days and litter. You know, it's not so easy like nowadays where you get things sent all over the world. They had apples on the tree, so they took an apple. Now, that's probably the emistic of Pshat. But nonetheless, there are all sorts of segulas. You've got the chakal tapuchin, and the tapuch represents something which was sour and has now become sweet. Mashen came, the other foods were sweet, and mekorah, and we want sour things to be made sweet, and that's the idea of dipping it in the honey, so to show that the sour apple should now be sweetened. You're supposed to take down for a sweet apple, but not a sour apple. All these are in Yonim, in the apple. So we say the apple has its own segulas, and it's true that the din would be to have to make it on a date. That would be lechat chila, if you have to brach on the shiva something, and the date comes first, because it's chila le'eretz basra. And that's a well-known thing. People think that the olives are first, or the grapes are first. It's not true. A date is the thing you make the brach on, because that's tchila le'eretz basra. But so you take all the dates off the table, and all the figs off the table, and we put them somewhere else. Then later on, during the meal, our minute was, whenever we come to the fruit, so then when you've got something, you make the hirotzen. So on the carrots, we make hirotzen. Sheyirbu zechui yaseinu. Why? Because carrots was meron. Shteim chayodom, that meron was a minute to take meron, because meron means more. Anything which means more, you take. Bezman hazeh, however, meron, nobody can speak Yiddish in Eretz Yisrael anymore, it's all ifnit. So what do? They still took carrots. But carrots is gezer. So these are the same food, but they changed the simon in order that it should have a modern connotation. So all of these simonim, in the truth of the matter, is whatever you have, if you can find a simon, you use it. Obviously, we have some quaint modern ones, like the Frenchmen eat bananas, and they say, Yerotzi Shiano Bon Année. And you've got the one that Noah Schwartz told me, had one he used, that somebody took sardines, and he said, she is sardine, she also a sardine, the din shouldn't be so serious. And the kiwi fruit, me olam kiwi do lach, and another one, and of course you all know the one about the raisins and raisin celery, they took raisins and celery, and they said, you're up to she on a raisin celery. The only problem with that is that on Yom Tov you don't talk about Parnassa, and also there is a minig not to take grapes. Now again, that minig again falls into two problems. Some people say it's only black grapes, because as those state in Gemara and Brachos, a person sees black grapes, it's a bad sign. But others say, no, it's all grapes. All grapes, there's a reason why grapes are not masugul to be taken on Rosh Hashanah. If you can't take grapes, and you can't take raisins. So obviously you've got to be careful. There's a positive side that you want a good simon, but you've got to be careful. There's no negative side. Many things we don't have, for example, we don't have egos on Rosh Hashanah. Eggers not on Rosh Hashanah night, the whole of the sesame tshuva, because Eggers is gematria chait. It isn't gematria chait, it's okay. Gematria tov. And we want tov. So why, what's going on here? But since it could be Gematria Chet, or some people say that the Chet really is the Aleph gets lost from the Chet because the Aleph is the Ribono Shel Olam, and anybody sins is lost to the Ribono Shel Olam, and therefore since you've lost the Aleph of the Chet, so Mimela Chet is Blight 17, and since 17 is Gematria Egos, you don't eat Egos on. That's one of the reasons. There's another reason why we don't eat it, because of the Kichor Veneer, etc. Alright, which you shouldn't interfere with your davening. The Nafkimini is the different types of nuts. Really, in the time of the Gemara, Negus was a warm nut. It doesn't really refer to hazelnuts and other nuts, it really refers to a warm nut. That's what Egos really was. But now, since it's the other reason, any nuts will increase the saliva and interfere with the tefillah, so nuts are out. So even if you find a good remesh in a nut, then it's perhaps better not to take it. So you've got all these different inyonim. Let's go back to the Gemara itself and see where it all starts. The Gemara says in Krisis Davov Amadalov, Omar Abaya, Harsh the Omar at Simona Milsahi, now that we've learned that Simona is good, that means it's not Nichush, and it's not considered to be Darki Emeri, it's not something which is awesome to do, it's got a point to it. Yeh Rogil Inish Lemechel Reishata, at the beginning of the year a person should eat Karo, Rubya, Karsi, Silka, Vatamri. Five things. Karo, that's mainly sort of a form of dilas, melons. Rubya, there's all sorts of different shit as what rubya are. Karsi means leeks, although the modern pictures show something which looks more like spring onions. Silka is some form of beet, and tamri are dates. There's a lot of problems with that. Why is tamri mentioned last? Because tamri are the only ones for Shiva Saminin, they should mention first. Unless you say that the other four are Bo Pio Adomo, and Tamri is Bo Pio 8. So the Gemara wanted to show that the things which you normally eat in the meal first, and the Tamri would be the dessert which came later. That's probably a possible answer. All these things, says Rashi, represent one of two things. Either, right, let me read out whatever you see, I've written the Rashi out, Pej Rashi, Karad Las Rubia Tilson, that's Tilson, it's normally translated as Fenugreek. Who knows what these are? The honey ikad de godly mahe. They grow very quickly. They're fast growing, and we want something which will be meramez on movement, fast. We want to get on with things. Things should happen for us and for good. The ikad de maski and those which are sweet. So we take inyonim which grow quickly, or the sweet. That is the remes. Also, the other mafarshim say the remes can be in the name of the word. Like, for example, Karo, we now say Yilot and Sheyikora Gzeiro Sein, Sheyikra Gzeiro Sein. I know the Aleph and the Ayin are interchangeable letters, so you should tear the Gzeiro. That's what people say with that. Rubya Sheyirbu, Lashna Ribui, Karsi Sheyikorsu Sonenu. These all Silka Sheyistalik Achet, whichever, either on the Chet or on the people, which it doesn't really matter which, the word has that connotation. And then it's straight in the poskim that Bisman is there. You've got to take the word in your language. It's not good taking the language like Aramaic, which nobody understands what it's talking about. That was the time of the Gemara. Bisman is there, you take something in your own language which gives you the message. So carrot is meron. That's yirbu. That's the famous example of an English one. Banana, banana is a joke, but it's a French. Well, anybody speaks Italian or Japanese, they can find in their own language something which would be appropriate, and that's a good simon. However, in the Gemara and Hodias, exactly the same minim are brought. There's one big difference in the verb. If you look at the Gemara and Hodias, it says instead of saying lemecho, it says lemechazi. You bring them on the table and you look at them. You don't eat them. They're there to look at, not to eat. So from the Gemara and Hodias, it's mashma that the chiyuv of the siman is not to eat them. When you were eating sweet things on Rosh Hashanah and we were enjoying ourselves and filling ourselves up, Rosh Hashanah, hold back. Rosh Hashanah, you have a yom tov meal, but you don't have to eat all the special chocolates on Rosh Hashanah. No, you keep that for Sukkot. So the Gemara, you see them, you look at them. If you look at them, that's good enough. Especially in the Gemara, there's a different gizos. If you look then at the side in Christus and at the side in Hodias, the Mephoshim mention the difference in the gizos, etc. But it's quite clear there's two different gizos. So that would answer our questions about all these, the Kedima and Brachas. And Brachas don't come into it because you're only going to look at it. And in Achanami, one of the Poskim says that if you're going to make a bracha on the apple, make your bracha on the apple and eat the apple according to the minhag, and just look at the other things, and then you don't have your problem of having made the bracha based on the wrong food. You can make your bracha on the apple, and you look at the other foods, and you say the yiroksim every time you see the other food. That's not the minhag olam. And in fact, the Shulchan Aruch paskins like the Gemara in Christus, not like the Gemara in Hodes. Because if you look at the Shulchan Aruch, Simon Tov Kuf Pei Gimel Sif Aleph, Yehei Odom Rogel Lech Oil Barosh Hashana Rubia, Dehainu Tilson, Kalsi, Sukkot, Tamri, Kala, the order is not the same as our Gemara. I'm puzzled why the Shulchan Aruch has changed the order of the Gemara. Maybe he had a different verse in the Gemara. It needs looking into. But he mentions these, or it could be that each one is talking about its own place. In the place of the Gemara, which was in Bovel, maybe this was the order that these are more prevalent and the Tamri more difficult to get, so stuck at the end. In the place of the Beis Yosef, which was in Spain, maybe it was easier to get some of these other foods, therefore he changes the order to fit in with his circumstance. And if that's the case, we'll never know, because you'll have to go into the agricultural history of Spain and Babylon in order to know which was which. And I'm not thinking of doing that in the near future. And he says, "Because Yochel Rubia Yoma Yirotzen Shiyirbu Zuchuyoseinu." The Shulchan Aruch says you don't say the Shem. He just says Yirotzen without the Shem. That's our minute without the Shem. The Mishnah Berurah says you should say Shem Hakadosh Baruch Hu Avoseinu. So state in Mishnah Berurah. Why did the Shulchan Aruch leave it out? It could be the Shulchan Aruch didn't want to put Shemus in, like in the Gemara. It doesn't say Baruch to Hashem. It just says the bracha is Ozei Yisrael Gvura. We understand you've got to say Baruch to Hashem. Or it may be Davka. Davka says mustn't say the Shem. That's a side Shaila which to do. Again, you'll follow the minute. And it's no good taking these tzetlach, because all these tzetlach which come out, everyone's got something different. One will say this and one will say that. You've got to go back to your roots, and you've got to try and remember what was done at home. Then, the interesting thing is the Rambam does not mention these simonim at all. The Rambam leaves it out completely, which is a remarkable thing, because it's a Gemara. Why did the Rambam leave it out? Again, there's a whole deal, and a foreshim of the Rambam felt it was nichush, and therefore you shouldn't do it, it wasn't appropriate to Rosh Hashanah. But to me, the simple answer is that the Rambam paskins halachos, not minhagim tovim. It's only certain things which are necessary. But a minig which is only an eitzah tova ba'alma, the Rambam didn't paskin. As far as he was concerned, it's a simonim, it's a nice thing, good, it's a minig, nice thing to do. Not a minig which he hired to do, it was an inyan. Rambam does not deal with inyanim, he just deals with halachas. And halachas are minhagim, which have the tokef of halacha. So according to the Rambam, it comes out, it's not that important. However, the Shulchan Aruch, who also normally follows the same day as the Rambam, he obviously held it's become a minute which is kavua in Klal Yisrael, and therefore he says it, this is a halacha in Shulchan Aruch, you've got to do it. The Ramor adds one or two extra things which we do. Yesh noegim lechol tapuach. Tapuach is not mentioned in the Gemara, it's not mentioned in the Shulchan Aruch, and it's not mentioned in the Rambam, but the Ramor mentions it. It seems, probably, as I said to you before, the Ramor lived in Poland, and they probably couldn't get the dates. And they probably couldn't get these other things. So a minute came about, we'll have apples. Could be. Maybe that's the reason. Maybe it's not the reason. But the Ramor is the first one who mentions you have to have a tapuach. And then masuk bidvash. And you dip it in honey, which is also not mentioned as such in the Gemara. But divash, everybody now has honey on Rosh Hashanah. Which type of honey? That's also discussed. I mean, you can have fruit honey, as far as the Torah is concerned, the honey could be divash of tomorrow. But most people say that the divash is bee honey for a number of reasons. The divash which you take has got to be the sweetest divash, and it's also got other segulas which I haven't got time for now. So, but it's best to take bee honey. The Omen Tischadesh Aleinu, some people say Tischadesh Aleinu, Almenig is Neiros and Shatischadesh Aleinu, the Ramosa Shatischadesh Aleinu, but also everything has its background, etc. The Chain Noyagim, when the Ramosa says the Chain Noyagim, that does not just stam, that means this is what you should do. The Lashon of the Ramosa is very Meduyak, sometimes it's Noagu, when he says the Chain Noyagim, that means you must do it. And then he says, that's another minhag to have rimonim. As I said to you before, our minhag was to have the pomegranate on the second night in order that you should have a sheikh yonu, because apples you wouldn't be able to make a sheikh yonu on, and if you eat the pomegranate on the first night you have a problem with the sheikh yonu. Rabbi Shlomo Zalman says that if you're taking a sheikh yonu on the first night, you shouldn't be motziit with the Sheikh Yonu of Kiddush. That's what he says. He's got a big price because he says if a fruit demands its own Sheikh Yonu, and although you make a Sheikh Yonu in Kiddush, and on the second night you dafka have to have kavon on the fruit in order to be motziit Sheikh Yonu. However, on the first night he says a woman should have a fruit in front of her, she doesn't have to eat it at Hadlokas and Eros. On the second night she has a fruit in front of her Hadlokas and Eros, which says Sheikh Yonu. She should have the rimon then, look at it, and she should have kavana. And the man, when he comes to the kiddush, he should have kavana shekh. But on the first night, it's faket. On the first night, you should not have kavana shekh for the fruit. And if you're going to make a shan, you make a special one. That's what it is. That's not our minig. Our minig is always at the not to be moistet in brochas. And we have the shekh on the kiddush, and you have mechavan to have the shekh in the middle. But I'm saying, again, this is minig. Then the Mishnah Berurah goes on to say, you should have huadin masha nikri b'lashonis achelim loshon rubio or loshon yochan kol medina or medina kilashoino. Every medina follows its own minhag. So if you're a Sephardi who speaks Arabic, you'll have minhagim which probably do with the Arabic language, and wherever you come from, you use the language of the place in order to understand the siman. So what's it all about? I must just deal with that very briefly. First of all, I would like to refer you all to a book called The Pearls of Light. On chapter of Rosh Hashanah, I have a chapter on that particular subject, dealing with why we do these simonim and what is it, and basically the answers to most of these questions. In order to answer the questions, one more. If you look through the simonim and that simon, the Shulchan Aruch, it's question number 14 on this list. The Lord says immediately after telling you about the simonim, he tells you, and it's a good simon to go to Tashlich. Now, if you think about it, this is the wrong place to put Tashlich. Tashlich should be after Mincha, or at least in the morning something. What has it got to do with the night? Nobody goes to Tashlich in the night of Rosh Hashanah. I've heard of people going to Tashlich during the first Mei Teshuvah, and I've heard them going to Hashanah Rabbah. I've heard them going, and we go after Mincha and Rosh Hashanah afternoon. And maybe there are people who may perhaps go there at other times. But I've never heard of anybody going at night to Tashlich. So why on earth has he mentioned it there? He mentioned, and after that he says, then you shouldn't sleep too much on Rosh Hashanah. So the order doesn't seem to be right. Why does the Lamor mention it at that spot? That really gives you the answer to the whole question. The question is, these simonim are not just a Rosh Hashanah night inyan, so to speak, that something to get a simon. Yes, it's got to have a simon. There are, in fact, from the Forshim, four different reasons, which I've set out briefly at the bottom, as to what these simonim achieve. I haven't got time now to go through each one. You can have a look yourselves, you'll see. But the basic point that I want to make is this. That the idea, the whole of Rosh Hashanah, we are having to bear in mind that we are the servants of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Im kavanim, im ka'avodim. We have an avinu malkeinu. Avinu, we are bonim, malkeinu, we are the avodim. The whole of Rosh Hashanah is that. And it's only if we can recognize the malchus and the fatherhood of the Ribbono Shel Olam, avinu shel b'shamayim, that we can start doing tshuva, we can do anything else. Unless we get that yisod first, nothing else will work properly. Now, in order that we should get that yisod, and that's why we don't do achoton ulefonecho on Rosh Hashanah, we don't do ashamnu on Rosh Hashanah, but you don't mention any tshuva from achet and Rosh Hashanah. That's all for Yom Kippur, that's after, because before you can do any of that, we've got to accept that we have Ribbono Shel Olam in heaven. In order to do that, we do all sorts of things to bring home to us that we are entirely in the Ribbono Shel Olam's hands. E.g., we shout out HaMelech the whole time. The Chazan starts with HaMelech. We say HaMelech HaKodesh. We have all sorts of things about Malchus. We have Malchus, Shonen, Zichronis, and Shofros. The whole of the Shofar is Le'oire, Uru Yishenim, Mishenaskem, Neudomim, Mitar, Damaskem. The whole of the idea of the Shofar is to wake us up and make you realize where we are and who's looking after us. All the other Inyan of Rosh Hashanah, even Tashlich, is almost the same thing. One of the most beautiful explanations of Tashlich is not that we're throwing our sins away to the fish. Yeah, that's a little for the children. I don't think we'd spend Rosh Hashanah afternoon going, instead of learning Torah or saying Tehillim, going for a nice walk into the park to find some water to throw our sins away to the fish. You can throw our sins away quite nicely in the Beis HaMedrash. So why do we go there? The Torah Tumimah and others say that the idea of going to Tashlich is because we've got to understand that we are being mamlich melch malchei amloch, and they used to do that at the river. She says she rots and she mosheich malchusko. They always used to crown a king by the river and say, "Long live the king." That was what the whole idea was. So when we go to Tashlich, we are saying, "Long live the melech malchei amlochim hakodesh baruch." We're crowning him and we want his malchus, and that's why we go to Tashlich, to show that inyan of the subservience to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Therefore, we begin to see these simonim and Rosh Hashanah night are all the same thing. Whatever we do, we should have a sweet year. Who's going to give us a sweet year? Ribbono Shel Olam. Whatever the simon is, he rots and shet techadish. Whether you say Hashem or you don't say Hashem, the techadish is a kodesh baruch should be mechadish. And every time we do something else, oh, we need a sweet year. Remember, it's Rosh Hashanah's Yom Hadin. So the whole main purpose of the simonim is to bring home to us what Rosh Hashanah is all about. It's true, it might be a little jokey to say sardine and kiwi and raisins and all that sort of thing. It may be a little bit funny, but it brings it home. We're like children to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and we need these items in order that we should remember Ribbono Shel Olam, we are your children. We are under your control. It's you who gives us the sweet year. That's why we sleep less on Rosh Hashanah, that's why we go to Tashlich, and that's why we have all these different simonim throughout. It's not as if it's a mitzvah like the mitzvah blowing the shofar. It's a mitzvah from the minute to remind ourselves the whole time, and that's why Rosh Hashanah you're supposed to be makbish particularly about every little thing you do. Each bracha should be done with kavona. Each minute has got to be understood not to break any halachas. Well, I've run out of time. There's a lot more here about the Ikkar Toffel, although a very, very interesting sefer which was shown to just this year called Sefer Leil Rosh Hashanah. I've taken from that, Mr. Sefer Shem Omro, and you'll see the whole discussion of the Ikkar Toffel about the honey and the salt, which is here. And on this side, you've got also some of the shilas which we touched upon but haven't been able to do in any more detail. I wish you all a Shana Tova. All that that people should want, let's have.